Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Friday, finally Friday, and very happy to join you on what has been still a pretty action-packed first week of the Grizzlies offseason. Again, you know, we're less than a week away from their season ending, you know, in a disappointing fashion. However, as I stated earlier this week, the way that they ended the season, you know, on Saturday was a much better note to end the season on than it seemed like it would be earlier last week. So just all in all, it's been a positive development this week for the Grizzlies, and that continued last night, which we'll get into in just a moment. Before we get started, though, I do want to remind you that obviously, as a Locked On Grizzlies listener, you come to our podcast to get the latest news on your favorite team, the Grizzlies. Well, we've got another exciting news source to tell you about, which is Axios. Start your morning with the news that matters most in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyala Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. Check out Axios Today. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about last night's draft lottery. And though the Grizzlies, you know, as was expected, and many like me were hoping, as was expected, the Grizzlies were the 14th pick. Though the Boston Celtics logo was shown, the Grizzlies were the team that, you know, landed the 14th pick. We'll talk about that. And though the Grizzlies don't have a first-round pick, the development of the draft lottery in multiple ways in 2020 will have significant impact, in my opinion, on the Grizzlies' near future. And I'll get into the details as to why that is here in just a moment. In the second and third segments, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we'll also look at, you know, what I feel are three key characteristics of this team that they showed they were good at this season that I feel very strongly the Grizzlies need to maintain emphasis on as we move forward. Three key areas of this team that I think the Grizzlies need to really focus on maintaining, as it should help them continue to progress towards contention at a faster rate than most might expect. So let's talk about last night's draft lottery. I was over at Grizzly Bear Blues doing the handling the Twitter account, and you know, as I stated, you know, the hope was that there wasn't going to be much to talk about, and there wasn't. I will correct something from earlier this week where I was wrong. I said that, you know, if the Grizzlies logo is shown, well, of course, you know, I was unsure of how it worked out, but of course, the NBA does acknowledge, you know, the fact, you know, these restrictions, these pick protections and restrictions. So though the Grizzlies landed the 14th pick, theoretically, it was actually Boston who now has their pick due to the Jeff Green trade. But that obviously is the big thing about it. You know, the Jeff Green trade is over. It's done with. It's taken care of. If you want to call it a curse, whatever it may be, I agree with you. But at the end of the day, the Grizzlies wound up yielding their pick to Boston. A couple of benefits of that is that it did not wind up being just a very lucrative pick. You know, as I saw someone state last night, it was a mediocre pick in a pretty bad draft. So that was a best-case scenario for the Grizzlies. And the other benefit to Memphis, which I'll get into in a second, is it now has the opportunity to potentially gain a much more significant asset in 2021, and with our creative front office, that certainly is a good thing. But one thing that I'll get into before we talk about that specifically is the development of how things worked out in the draft lottery last night, because the order in which the draft lottery in last night's unveiling worked out, it does have a significant impact on the Grizzlies. Because when you think about it, look at Memphis's situation. So obviously you have 15 teams in the West in the NBA, and you have Memphis, who was in the 8th spot but landed in the 9th spot in the conference. Well, from last night's draft lottery, one thing that you could say now is that besides the playoff teams, Memphis is the team who now is going to be least benefited by the 2020 draft. And that may be fine in terms of what Memphis has for its future, but it also could, you know, make an impact on next year's playoff race. What do I mean by that? Well, look at it. Minnesota landed the number one pick, and Golden State landed the second overall pick. As we've talked about, the Grizzlies making the playoffs this year, big factors in that were the injuries to Zion for the Pelicans, the injuries to Joseph Nurkic and others for the Trailblazers, and of course the injuries that happened to Stephen Curry and Draymond Green for the Warriors. All three of those teams next year are hopefully going to have their players back healthy, and they're going to be looking to make playoff runs. And just in being honest, those teams, even next year, are still on paper likely going to be more talented than Memphis. Well, now you've got Golden State, who can add the second overall pick to their equation, to a healthy core that includes Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and now the second overall pick. If that's James Wiseman, that's a talent. That fills a need for him. Say they use that second pick to go out and get another established NBA player. They gained an asset that will make them better immediately next year. Minnesota is the same way. Now, I still think that the Grizzlies likely are a better team than Minnesota, but if you add LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards to D'Angelo Russell, Karl-Anthony Towns, and others, Minnesota is at least in a position where you could see them surprising people. They do become significantly better due to them adding, you know, a relatively good talent through the number one pick. So that's another up-and-coming Western Conference franchise that will threaten and will be looking to make a playoff run next year. And then besides that, you look at the teams from the West that were in the bubble but did not make the playoffs. Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, and New Orleans. Now, they're picking 10 through 13, which would, I think in a lot of cases, was where they were expected to pick. But this is a draft where even at that range, you still could get a very, at least a decent talent that could immediately, or at least as the year progresses, turn into a good role player. That's something else to look at. That all of those teams that were fighting against the Grizzlies to make the playoffs in the bubble have gained another asset in which they will be able to get, you know, at least a decent talent to add to their rotations to get better. So that is one key takeaway from this draft lottery that I think is relevant. I think that the fact that all of the teams in the Western Conference besides the Grizzlies that didn't make the playoffs gained another pick last night, and a few of them, including Golden State and Minnesota, gained a significant asset last night that'll make their teams better, while the Grizzlies themselves did not gain that. They did not gain a draft asset to help them out in the immediate future. Why that plays a part in things is that that development just adds to the understanding, the reality, that the Grizzlies' path to the playoffs in the 2020-2021 season is going to be more difficult than this year. Injuries played a big part on other teams. Injuries on other teams played a big part in the Grizzlies getting to the playoffs. Yes, them exceeding expectations did as well. But now when you throw a healthy Golden State team into the mix, when you throw an improved Minnesota team, and you throw in an improved Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, and New Orleans teams, all those teams getting better and likely not suffering from the same health issues a second straight season, even if the Grizzlies improve as a team next year, it's just a matter of numbers. There are only 8 playoff spots up for grabs in the West, and if that's the case, it's going to be hard for Memphis to make a run. You know, we hope that they make the playoffs, but even if they do not make the playoffs, even if they do play better than they did this year, even if they finish with a higher win total, perhaps maybe even around 40 to 41 wins, they go .500 next year, you still could conceivably see them miss the playoffs. However, while that may seem like a negative up front, that may not necessarily be that negative long-term for the Grizzlies. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, while I've talked about how the developments in the 2020 draft from other teams could impact the Grizzlies' playoff chances in the 2020-2021 season, when we come back from the break, I'll give a little bit of an explanation of how that actually could benefit the Grizzlies more long-term in their rebuild towards contention. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. For many of our Locked On Grizzlies podcast listeners, the struggles of everyday life can certainly, be mounting. You know, they can be one on top of the other. And in the past, you've relied on restaurants to take one less, to put one less thing on your to-do list, and they were able to provide you with meals. Well, now, while you relied on them in the past, Restaurants are now relying on us. While you can't walk in and enjoy a meal like you used to, many of those same restaurants are still open, and you're actually able to enjoy the delicacies that they provide through DoorDash via delivery. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Wendy's and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your local restaurants are still open for delivery, and what you need to do is once you open that DoorDash app, you select your favorite restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So like I was talking about with the draft last night, outside of Memphis for other teams, the fact that of the 15 teams in the West, 8 are in the playoffs, and the six of the 7 other teams left outside of the playoffs, those 6 other teams besides the Grizzlies gained an asset that will likely make them better next year. So the reason why it was a positive development for the Grizzlies to not land a pick last night, and in my opinion, for these other teams to land a pick last night, is because of this. It allows for the Grizzlies to have a better chance of, no matter what outcome works out for them next year, they still benefit from it. Now, let me put that into perspective. I am not here suggesting that the Grizzlies need to tank or that they need to try to get as high as a pick next year, or that the focus should be of a pure rebuild like you see other teams doing. That's not the case at all. The Grizzlies roster, they need to try to improve this offseason. They need to go after the playoffs, and they need to play the best that they possibly can. However, if they do all those things, and yet things outside of their control are not as beneficial next year, meaning that, you know, several other teams, as we mentioned in the first segment, are able to play to their potential and they make it hard for the Grizzlies to keep up. And even though the Grizzlies play better, they miss the playoffs next year. That actually could be better for their long-term rebuild. And the reason why is because in a stronger 2021 draft, the Grizzlies have now gained better chances to get a higher pick. Say that the Grizzlies are able to get a top 10 pick next year. Well, now you not only have the ability to get a good talent that you can add to the core with Jaren and Ja and Brandon Clark, but you also have the potential to where you land another asset for our creative front office. This front office has obviously shown that they can pick the right players. They did it already with Brandon Clark and Ja Morant. They also identified the right players to trade for with the Anthony Melton. They signed Tyus Jones, things such as that. But this Grizzlies team also, through building off the Marc Gasol and the Mike Conley trades, this front office has also shown they're very creative and they can pinpoint how to benefit the Grizzlies both in the short and long term through multiple moves that they can make. So to gain a potentially higher pick than they would have got this year and a stronger draft in 2021, it's not just a likelihood that they'll get a better talent if they pick. It also becomes another asset to offer in trades. You can move up in the 2021 draft and get a true difference maker, a top 2 or 3 pick if it makes sense. You could combine your 2021 pick with another future pick, like our future, you know, a future Grizzlies pick, or the future Utah pick, or the future Golden State pick. Or you could potentially put this pick in the 2021 draft into a package to go get an established NBA player that's a difference maker. Say Justice Winslow does not work out, again next year due to injury. We don't pick up his team option. Now the Grizzlies have an asset in the 2021 draft that they'll be able to use. They could use it to potentially help clear cap space to go after a true player in free agency. They could use it in a sign and trade. They can use it for a guy who's already signed to a contract. That's the point of landing the 2021 pick and why it's so much more beneficial than landing a pick in 2020, because of the lack of restrictions and also the good chance that it's going to be more attractive when the Grizzlies are further along on their competitive time frame. So that's why everything working out as it has to this point, besides the Grizzlies having the great season that they did, that's why last night is still significant for the Grizzlies, even though we've sent our pick to Boston. It increases the chances that no matter what outcome we experience next year, it's still going to be significantly beneficial for our rebuild. We make the playoffs? Heck, this core now has 2 years of playoff runs under its belt before any of our main guys are at 25 years old, and that allows for us to sit there and build on that towards being a contender. We miss the playoffs and make the lottery? Heck, we now get to add another significant piece to an already very promising core. So no matter what outcome, how things have worked out, certainly put us in an even better position to make the most of it as our future goes forward. So last night, definitely a development, a lot of positive things, but for the Grizzlies in general, it was nice to see something that we had hoped for, something that many had wished would happen. It was nice to see things continue to go in the Grizzlies' favor, because as we all know, when that happens over the past 2 years, it certainly leads to good results. So with the lottery working out the way that it has, the fact that the Grizzlies earlier this season, when their Justice Winslow trade, a lot of their potential cap space or their flexibility cap-wise was filled up through the acquisitions of Justice Winslow and Gorgui Dieng. The Grizzlies this offseason, it's very unlikely that you're going to see the Grizzlies as active or as much significant roster turnover, or just in general, as much significant improvement to the roster as we did last offseason. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that, again, things outside the Grizzlies' control have kind of contributed to that. Obviously, the uncertainty of the financial situation of the NBA for teams as a whole, the uncertainty of how the offseason is going to play out, so on and so forth, all those things come into play besides the things that I mentioned. So the Grizzlies themselves, it's very likely that the Grizzlies are going to look very similar next year as they did this year, but that's not a bad thing, obviously. It's a very good thing with how the Grizzlies played this year. So if that's the case, if we're not going to see a lot of turnover, I don't expect for, you know, we'll probably talk about trade speculations. We may see a trade or two, but I don't feel that you're going to see like the big trade where we bring in an all-star level talent to complement our core. I don't think the Grizzlies are at that point yet. But what are some things that the Grizzlies do need to emphasize this offseason that were good characteristics from their team this year that they need to maintain to keep this roster in a position to where it can exceed expectations or potentially play above its overall talent? And I think there's three key things that certainly come to play. One is the Grizzlies bench. I've talked about it many a time, and obviously we saw both before the season was suspended and in the bubble, you know, how the Grizzlies bench is one of the few assets this team has that gives them an advantage against other teams, no matter how talented they are, whether they're a contender or someone that landed a top five pick in this draft, and that's the development of the bench. We saw proof of how important Tyus Jones is to that. The difference that he made from December on after he took a little while to get, you know, acclimated to Memphis, we saw how beneficial he was. The Grizzlies bench led the NBA in assists and led the NBA in field goal percentage. That's a direct tie-in into Tyus' ability to set up the offense in multiple ways, whether in transition or in the half-court game, and set up his teammates for scoring. He was able to get them good looks. They shot well. The Grizzlies don't have the most talented shot creators or scorers when you look at them compared to other benches. But as a unit, they played very well. Obviously, besides that is the fact that the revelation that, you know, a couple of revelations from the bubble. One was that Brandon Clark likely needs to remain in a reserve role. That's just where he's most comfortable and where he offers the biggest advantage. Yeah, you'd like more minutes from him, but if the minutes that he plays truly is difference-making, if Clark against most second units truly makes a highly impactful difference, and that's true, he's one of the biggest advantages the Grizzlies have, you keep him in that role, and paired with Tyus, it definitely helps things out. Now, you bring Justice back healthy. You get to add Kyle Anderson now to that bench unit. Obviously, he's a compliment. Him and Tyus and Brandon Clark and De'Anthony Melton, those guys were frequent names amongst the Grizzlies' best-performing lineups this season. So now you put Kyle Anderson in a more of a limited but role in which he can execute, and adding his defense to the second unit makes the Grizzlies one of the better defensive second units in the NBA, in my opinion. That is a positive development. But like the Clark revelation that he likely needs to stay in a reserve role, probably the biggest addition to the Grizzlies' bench spot, especially if Melton were to go elsewhere. If Melton stays, that makes this bench unit even stronger. But the huge development is Grayson Allen. The fact that the Grizzlies have him under control for two more years, the fact that he's a very good player who can make an impact on both ends, but also the big thing for Grayson that he adds is that outside shooting element to the Grizzlies' second unit. Now it's not just them executing in transition or being highly efficient like they are. They now have the ability to get outside shooting from Grayson, who showed he can be a very reliable knockdown option on catch and shoot threes. You get Tyus, you get Kyle Anderson, you get Brandon Clark. All three of them, the strength of their scoring games a lot of time are their ability to shoot the floaters or get into the paint. Well, now you've got Grayson's intelligence moving out on the perimeter. You've got a second unit, you've got a full second unit lineup that gel well with each other and can play with them some starting lineups. That is a big advantage for an up-and-coming team like the Grizzlies. So the fact that they have all these guys under multiple years of control, the fact that they know these guys are advantageous in reserve roles, and the fact now with Allen adding his shooting to the equation, that is a big development for the Grizzlies and why they should continue to emphasize if they were to lose a De'Anthony Melton, or they were to or a Josh Jackson, or trade away a Gorgui Dieng or Kyle Anderson, they need to make sure, whether it be through their second-round pick or through identifying other potential bargains in free agency, they need to do all they can to keep the bench strong, because they've already got an excellent controllable core in their second unit to build around, and we see how big of a difference it made. The Grizzlies certainly need to emphasize keeping their bench as strong as possible, because if you can play that bench more minutes and you can keep your starters fresh and healthy, that's going to make a big difference as the Grizzlies have more and more playoff aspirations over the next few years. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, I've talked about the bench as a focus of the Grizzlies to really maintain and emphasize going forward. I'm going to look at a few other key areas that I really think can help the Grizzlies stay on their path towards contention in a quicker time frame than many thought. We'll be right back on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So I talked in the second segment about the first of three characteristics of this Grizzlies team that I really feel it's important that Memphis focuses on, you know, this offseason. They at least maintain what they have, because obviously, as I mentioned, you know, in last segment, it's likely that the Grizzlies are not going to have as eventful of an offseason as they did last year for things both within and outside of their control. But the second big thing that I think the Grizzlies are going to have to really emphasize is their passing. And that just naturally is going to remain a strength of the team, I feel. I wrote a couple of articles about it over at Grizzly Bear Blues, and it's just the simple truth. With Ja Morant and Tyus Jones as the point guard of your first and the second unit, the Grizzlies have a lot of benefits that many other teams don't have. And that's efficient point guards who, with Ja, can do his own playmaking and can be deadly in transition. And with Tyus, due to his efficiency and his ability with smart decision making, can really make a difference when the structure of the game kind of lowers when second units are on the court. The fact that the Grizzlies can get 40 to 45 minutes each game out of those two is just phenomenal. And that's very important for this Grizzlies team, who, when we saw them in the bubble play more talented teams, they struggled shooting from three. I believe that the Grizzlies were at least in the bottom five of field goal percentage, three-point field goal percentage, catch and shoot field goal percentage, and pull-up field goal percentage. That basically means that the Grizzlies are one of the least talented shooting teams in the bubble. And if we're going to continue to go on a path towards contention, that's something that we're certainly going to have to improve on. But the thing about it is that, you know, it's not going to be through adding a significant talent, more than likely. If it was that easy to add a significant talent that could create their own shot or be a knockdown shooter, the Grizzlies likely would have already done it. So how do they overcome that? They put players in positions to succeed. I mentioned it when Taylor Jenkins, you know, was dealing with the roster that he had in the bubble. He was able to put his players in a position to succeed mainly through putting those options in catch-and-shoot opportunities like Anthony Tolliver, like Grayson Allen, and others. We had hoped that we would see that from De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, but it just was not there. And how were the Grizzlies able to do it? They were able to work off their production and activity in the paint by passing, by making smart passes out to the perimeter and setting it up. So that's how the Grizzlies are going to make up for not having, you know, shooting talent that matches up against other teams. If you don't have the individual shooting talent, the goal becomes putting players in a position to where they truly can make a difference. And the other big aspect of that is knowing within your system how to do that. Taylor Jenkins is going to emphasize shooting threes. That's just how he's going to operate. But the other part of it is that he's got to make sure that the passing is there to make sure those threes are good looks. And I feel with Tyus Jones, I feel with Ja Morant, hopefully with Justice Winslow, Kyle Anderson, when they get into settled into their roles and back healthy, hopefully in time with Dylan Brooks and you know, Grayson has shown that ability. The Grizzlies not only have multiple options that can get into the lane potentially and pass back out, but several of those options also could continue to improve as catch-and-shoot options. So smart, intelligent passing, which the Grizzlies showed, that was a big reason why the Grizzlies were able to emerge as a surprise playoff contender. It eventually was a big reason why they could adjust and play better against better competition in the bubble. If the Grizzlies can continue to focus on that characteristic and evolve that as their shooting talent itself evolves, it hopefully will continue to become a bigger strength as time rolls on. And that will continue to allow for us to remain competitive, even though we don't have a clear knockdown option, you know, that many teams wish that they had. The third characteristic of this Grizzlies team is kind of a byproduct of how well the bench plays and our good passing that we do during the games, and that's the closing ability of Ja Morant. The thing about Ja Morant is that his closing ability as a rookie was historic in many ways. Number one, he arguably was the best closer, the best fourth quarter performance the Grizzlies have ever had in a single season in franchise history. He set the record for most two-point field goals, most field goals, was second in terms of overall fourth quarter points of anyone in Grizzlies history this season. He also was excellent among rookies. I mean, there only Allen Iverson and Donovan Mitchell have really been the only rookies over the past quarter century that have really performed to Morant's level when it comes to his ability to score in the fourth quarter. But the big thing about it more than anything for Morant and the Grizzlies is the simple fact that it's not just in terms of him being a Grizzlies player or him being a rookie that was significant about his fourth quarter production. He was among the best in the NBA. He was seventh in terms of a total points scored. He was among the top 10 in several other categories. Him and Giannis Antetokounmpo were the only players this year who were able to score 430 or more points while shooting 54% or better from the field. And that's the big takeaway for the Grizzlies. It's not just that Ja is something that they've never really had before in the fourth quarter, but they have something in Ja that a lot of other teams don't have. And that's a reliable source of scoring in the fourth quarter to an elite level in the NBA. And the reason why is because not only is it something Ja can do, it's also extremely sustainable. Because when Ja is scoring in the fourth quarter, things outside of his control play to his strengths. We saw in the last three games of the bubble, Ja is at his best when he's getting to the rim and getting to the line. Well, in the fourth quarter, Ja took 288 field goal attempts. 244 of those were two-pointers, and 201 of those were within 9 feet of the basket. The significance of that was not only did Morant make 62% of those attempts, but he also went to the line 130 times. That was sixth most in the NBA in terms of fourth-quarter free throw trips. Ja made 80% of them. So the big key about it is that Ja Morant is at his best when he's utilizing his strengths. That's athleticism and getting to the rim. As teams tire, that allows for Ja to have an easier time to feature those strengths. In relation to Ja and his ability to score and perhaps take over in the fourth quarter, as we saw him do many times during his rookie season, are other two strong characteristics. The other two advantageous assets of this team that I mentioned are bench and our passing ability. They both directly impact Jaw's ability to perform in the fourth quarter. If our bench can be effective, that means that our starters could stay fresh. We saw the Grizzlies do that several times this year. They were able to play Jaw a significant portion of the fourth quarter because their bench made a difference during the game. If our passing is on point, that means that these teams, other teams are going to have to sit there that may not be as deep as the Grizzlies. They're going to have to run more and keep up with the passing. So that means that they're going to probably fatigue quicker. So if you've got Jaw on the court against these other teams, even if they're more talented, against these other teams that are fatigued, he's going to make a difference. And that's what allowed for us to be able to extend the season further than, you know, a lot may have thought we would, you know, given our situation in the bubble. So that's the thing about Ja Morant, is that there's a lot of great things that he did during his rookie season, but one of the things that he already is among the best in the NBA at doing is showing up in the fourth quarter and closing games out. And for a team like the Grizzlies, who are still building up their talent, having a guy who hopefully is on his way to being a true superstar, having him already be a true difference maker when the games matter most, that is a big advantage. And the fact that these other things that we are strong at could allow for him to be even, you know, will continue to make him consistently good at that. Basically, all three of these assets, the bench, the ability to pass, and Jaw being able to perform well in the fourth, not only are those things very good for the Grizzlies as they are on their road to contention, but they also impact each other. So if they're doing all three of those things, you know, consistently, that will allow for them to really have a good chance to continue to perform well and hopefully build on this season to become a playoff contender next year. So a lot of great things in place for the Grizzlies. You know, we talked about last night how the development, even though it resulted in the Grizzlies not having a pick this year, it still highly impacts next season and their near and long-term future. And also through their bench, their passing, and Jaw's ability to close, you know, those things that really helped out this year. I think that if the Grizzlies continue to show emphasis to those characteristics of the roster, I think if they're in place next year, that really could help this team continue to evolve, you know, on its road to contention. That will basically do it for us on this episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Do want to remind you that next week we heard both Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman. We heard their end of the season takeaways, their end of the season sessions. What to take away from that? What does that mean for the offseason? We're going to look into that on Monday. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. I thank everyone who has shown support for me this week. I look very much forward to continuing to grow the show that Mark King helped grow himself. So really look forward to continuing to build off that. Your support means the world, and I hope to respond to that by giving you the best content forward this offseason. Thank you so much. Again, follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.